Good morning. My name is Jo. As Tom said already, I'm married to Liam, who leads the youth work here at STC. And together, we have been doing youth work here for about the last 6 years or so. And we've three young children. We've got Naomi, who's five, Isaac, who is three, and Lydia, who is just 9 months old, who should be watching at home. It's a real privilege to be talking to you this morning. Normally, my talks are done to groups of teenagers, and this is the first time that I will be unpacking the Bible with the wider church. And I'm going to hold out my judgment whether you guys are scarier than a room full of teenagers until the end of this morning's gathering. Saying that, for my day job, I am a primary school teacher, so maybe 30 little people, keeping them engaged is a tougher audience. We shall see. Anyway, this morning we are going to be continuing working through our series on Exodus. And I'd just like to start with a bit of a story about me and our family. As I've already said, we've got three young children, which is a huge blessing. We thank God for them every day. But this last year has also been a challenge. Our youngest, Lydia, was born into the global pandemic, and as many of you at home watching have experienced, my maternity leave this year has not been how I imagined, how I planned, even how I hoped it would be. Much of the time has been spent in lockdown, and all of it has been spent living under these restrictions of some kind. So to paint a quick picture, in my head, I would have been dropping Naomi off at school, carrying on, dropping Isaac off at nursery, and then going off, meeting new mums, making new connections at baby groups, having fun, you know, cafes, coffee dates, all of that. That hasn't happened. Instead, most of my time has been spent homeschooling Naomi, and whilst doing that, stopping Isaac, rugby tackling his baby sister in an over-enthusiastic cuddle, or helping Naomi with her online learning by pressing all of the buttons on the laptop all at the same time during a lesson. So it's fair to say that during this time, I have found myself grumbling a fair bit. I have found myself uttering the words, "It is not fair." I found myself saying, why am I at home struggling? Why am I trying to balance all of this going on? This isn't how it should be. And if I'm completely honest, I've even found myself grumbling about other people's grumblings. Words like, well, I don't know what they're complaining about. Their children still have a place in school. They don't understand how hard this really is. It's brought out a side in my character that I didn't recognize. And quite frankly, I didn't like. And then when Tom asked me to preach on this passage this morning, I thought, yeah, God's trying to tell me something. I wonder if you can relate with me. I wonder whether you found yourself grumbling more than usual during this season. Maybe you're fed up of working from home on that makeshift office, giving yourself a bad back. Maybe you're a grandparent and you're absolutely desperate to have your children and your grandchildren back around the dining table with you. Maybe you're desperate to see friends and family who are not local and you've not seen for such a long time. Maybe you're just longing for that summer holiday abroad. Maybe you're a student and you are fed up with having to engage in lectures online and you just want that normal student experience. We've all faced challenges this last year and continue to do so. And we're going to unpack these further together this morning through today's passage. But before we do, and as I'm reading it, I've got a question I'd like you to be mulling over and have in the back of your mind. Have you found yourselves muttering the words, "It's not fair," more than usual during this season? If you are truly honest, have you got a grumbling heart? I'm going to read today's passage, which is Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7, and I believe it will appear on the screen, but do grab your Bibles and follow along with me. So it's Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin. traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you at the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So, to briefly remind us of the context, Moses has already led the Israelites out of Egypt. They are now continuing on their journey through the wilderness, from Sin to the camp of Rephidim. In the previous two chapters, they've already grumbled about the undrinkable bitter water at Marah, which God then turned into fresh water for them. Then in chapter 16, when they reached the desert of Sin, they grumbled about the lack of food, and they even wished to be back in Egypt, because there, at least, they had food and water. But again, God provided for them through manna and quail. This morning, we pick the journey up in chapter 17, where the Israelites are faced with yet another problem. They arrive and camp at Rephidim, and there's no water and no oasis within traveling distance. And unsurprisingly, they begin to grumble again. In fact, they don't just grumble. See, this time in verse 1, it says they quarreled with Moses, which is a stronger term than we've previously seen. They've been on this incredibly long and challenging journey, and once again, their basic needs for food and water are not being met. And they demand from Moses, "Give us water to drink." As before, Moses responds by reminding his people that a complaint against him is actually a complaint against God. But this time, he seems to be at the end of his tether. It says, Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." I can hear the exasperation in Moses' voice. I don't know about any other parents watching this at home, but that seems all too familiar tone in our household at the minute. Words like, "I don't know what you want me to do about it," and "How can you still be hungry? You have eaten 3 meals today, eaten the whole fruit bowl, and emptied the snack box. I don't know what else you want." Just me? Or hopefully not. Moses cries out to Yahweh for help. His voice is full of exasperation, but also fear, as he begins to worry that the people may turn on him in violence. Moses' authority is under question at this point, but that means that they are ultimately questioning God. Therefore, it's not Moses who needs to provide the solution. It's God. And he does just that. He instructs Moses to move out in front of the people, not away from them, which is probably exactly what he wants to do given the circumstances, but he moves to the place where they can see him. And God says in verse 6, "I will stand there before you at the rock of Horeb." And he instructs him to strike the rock, and water will spring out. Once again, the point of this miracle is to show God's miraculous provision for his people. By supplying water where there was none, and for the most unlikeliest of spots, a rock, once again, God is meeting their grumbling hearts with his faithful provision. I have so much to learn from God. Our Father, when Naomi and Isaac are squabbling, and it's normally about which Paw Patrol episode they're going to watch or which Rescue Riders episode is coming next, I often find myself meeting their grumbling hearts with a snap of, "If you two don't stop arguing, the TV's going off." And Our Father, when we look at what he does, he doesn't snap. He doesn't threaten. He doesn't lose his patience like I do far too often. He is patient and he provides. He provides even when his people are questioning whether he is with them at all. See, time after time on this journey, the people grumble and he provides. Because even when we are faithless, he is faithful. I'm going to say that again. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful. So in the passage, we've seen that when God's people were thirsty, where their needs are not being met, they revert back to some old behavior patterns. They harp back to Egypt. I think this is so, so relevant to our lives right now. Yes, restrictions are being lifted slowly, but we're still living through a global pandemic. We still find ourselves grumbling that it's not fair. Our needs are not being met. So often, we forget God's faithfulness and we revert back to grumbling. As I mentioned earlier, our eldest daughter Naomi is 5, and due to a period of class isolation and then the joyful lockdown 3, she spent the most of December, January, February, and the beginning of March homeschooling. And I remember during that time praying every day and longing every day to be back on the school run. Fast forward to March and schools reopened to all pupils, praise the Lord. And it was a Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the first week. And on a Wednesday, due to Liam's working pattern, he's not around for the school run. So it's me and the 3 kids, and we've got a half an hour gap from dropping Naomi off at school to Isaac starting at nursery, which is too long to come home again, but too long to walk straight there. So we often go on a scenic route around Crooks. Anyway, this particular Wednesday, it was absolutely chucking it down. It was so windy, the type of wind where an umbrella is just useless. We set off on the school run, and before we'd got to the end of the street, all 4 of us were absolutely soaked through. Lydia's in the sling, crying, the wind's in her face, she's getting rained on. The other two, like children do, are cold and miserable, so start walking at a snail's pace. You know, that like takes like ages to get to the end of the road. They were miserable. And in that moment, I remember just thinking, this is horrible. Like, I hate this. I would like to be anywhere else apart from here right now. And then I had to stop and laugh because I'd spent the past 3 months praying for school to open and to be back on the school run. And on day 3, I was already grumbling about the school run and wishing to be anywhere else. See, that's just a silly example of how we as humans revert back to old behavior patterns when we're faced with new challenges. Believe me, that school run was a challenge. But the point is, how do we deal with our it's not fair moments? How do we deal with the times when we, like the Israelites, question God's presence in our lives? Well, when we look at the Bible, we can see that the answer is really quite simple. It's giving thanks. And yet for so many of us, we so often forget. The Israelites grumbled because they had forgotten that time after time, God had provided for them. How do we remember that God is our provider and that he will never leave us or forsake us? Well, we give thanks for his constant provision and presence in our lives. Thankfulness is the key. To remember things, we have to speak them out loud. I've done that many a times practicing this talk. I've practiced speaking out loud because we have to let our ears hear what our lips are saying. And our son Isaac, like many 3-year-olds, loves vehicles. He particularly loves buses. And on our many walks and car trips recently, we've talked all things buses. And we've explained the difference between a double-decker and a single-decker to him. And now, every time he sees a bus, and if you're local and you live in Crooks, I mean, that's quite often, he will then tell us, "Mummy, look, that's a double-decker because that's got an upstairs and a downstairs. Isn't that right? That one's a single-decker. That's just got a downstairs." And he repeats this every time he sees a bus. And it's because he is reaffirming what he has been taught. He's reaffirming what he knows to be true by saying it out loud. Well, that's the same for us. We need to speak out our thanksgivings in order for us to learn what God has done for us. This will serve us well when the grumbling creeps in. Just like when Isaac doubts his bus knowledge, he says the truth out loud again. We need to speak out loud the truth of our Father, who never fails to provide for us and never fails to be with us, no matter what we are facing. We know the Bible tells us to rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. But in this season of restrictions, are we living that out? If we search our hearts, are they full of thanksgivings, or have the thanksgivings given way to grumbling? I mean, does this mean we're never allowed to acknowledge the tough times and have a good moan? Does it mean that grumbling and honesty about how we're feeling shouldn't be part of our conversations with our friends and families and in our sixes? Well, no. When we look at the Psalms, for example, we see that God's okay with hearing our cries of frustration. God's okay with us pouring out our honesty, our heart, what's on our heart. But at the same time, we do need to take into account and responsibility to examine our hearts and to act when we see that grumbling taking over. As I've said previously, we need to speak it out. We need to speak out our daily thanksgivings out loud with our friends, with our family. If it's not already a holy habit, we need to make it one. We do this every bedtime with our kids as part of their bedtime routine, doing their prayers. We each say something we are thankful for. And some days it's tougher going than others, but some days their list just goes on and on. We need to build time in our cell groups, our small groups that we meet in the midweek, to give thanks together, to share what God is doing in each other's lives, to celebrate his faithfulness. Another thing I've found really useful is keeping a thankfulness journal. In particularly tough seasons that we've been through, I've spent time at the end of each week recording what God has done that week, where I've seen him at work, where I've seen prayers answered. And it's been so powerful then to read back and remind myself of God's faithful provision in mine and my family's life. One of the most frequent commands in the Bible is to remember. I was reading Pete Gregg's book, God on Mute, and he has a section in there about the importance of journaling. And in there, he references some research that's been done. And there is evidence that recalling just one positive experience in writing every 24 hours for just 3 days can rewire our thoughts more positively. In addition to this, we need to act when we see that the Lord and seek the Lord when we recognize that our grumbling has become an issue. Earlier, I was honest with how I was beginning to feel during homeschool season. And I recall one particular conversation with a school mum. And afterwards, I was just overwhelmed with resentment. And upon recognizing this, I sent a text to a very good friend of mine, asking her in that moment to pray with me, because I recognized it, the thoughts and the feelings I were having were not useful, were not helpful. And I asked her to pray, and she did. We then met up for a walk and we unpacked it further and prayed into it more. See, having someone in your life who has the authority to challenge you when they see old behaviour patterns creeping back in is vital. Her accountability helps me with my walk with Jesus. If you haven't got someone like that in your life, I think, you know, I'd highly encourage you to pray into that and to ask God who that could be for you. So as I begin to bring this into land and conclude, I'd like to invite the band back out. And as they're on their way, I'd like you to just think, as I've been talking, as we've read the passage, as I've been sharing what God's put on my heart, what has he been saying to you? And what does he want you to do about it? We're reminded through this passage that even when we are faithless, he is faithful. Where are you lacking in faith? Where has your heart become full of grumbling rather than full of the hope that he brings? God didn't punish the Israelites for their lack of faith. He provided water from a rock. He is our good, good Father, and he is with us. Do you need to be reminded of that today? As the band just begin to play, I'd love for you to just hold out your hands and maybe close your eyes, try and find a little bit of quiet, if possible, to just receive what it is God is saying to you. I believe there are some of us who recognize that currently our hearts are full of grumbling and that we've lost a bit of faith that God is with us and that he provides. If that's you, he wants to draw close to you today. He wants you to know that even when you are faithless, he is faithful. If that is you, ask him to just pour out his love on you today. Ask him to give you a new perspective and draw close to you once again. I also think there are many of us who recognize that maybe we're not feeling as thankful as we once were. This last year has been tough and it's taken its toll. Maybe we find ourselves grumbling way more than we recognize. In the stillness, wherever you are in your homes, I just ask you to just encourage you to start speaking out those thanksgivings. What can you be thankful for today? Your home, your job, your family, your health, even down to the food in your fridge. Begin to make this a daily habit once again, and just see what happens to your relationship with God, your Father. You see, faith in God comes from getting to know his faithfulness. I'm just going to take a moment, and then I'm going to end by praying together. Lord, we come before you now with our open hands and our open hearts, where we recognize that our hearts are full of grumbling. Would you pour upon us your grace and mercy, which are new every day and are always sufficient? Where we've forgotten your faithfulness, Lord, we confess our need for you today. Lord, would your Spirit open our eyes to see more of your presence in our lives? We pray we would become more thankful people, that we would grow closer to you over this coming week, and we would experience more of your joy. Amen.